So as I was preparing for today's message, it really struck me about what do you know? What do you know beyond a shadow of a doubt? What can you bank on? What do you have perfect assurance about?
God's love.
And what does that mean to you?
Everything.
So if you, it's like Marianne just went like, well, of course. If you've got God's love, you have everything. Now, sometimes it may not feel like that. Can I get an amen? When you're in the middle of the mess, when you have the diagnosis, when you don't have the money to make ends meet, when all kinds of situations, when your kids are running amok, it may feel like, you know, you ever have your mind just kind of take off? And now you're problem solving? So I'm going to be completely transparent. That's the word today, right? So I'm going to be completely transparent. When I was coming in here and I'm trying to figure out what's going on in the next door here, I'm sitting there trying to get ready for service, and my mind is going into like, okay, well, so how do we do this? And there's water coming in there, and do I get that guy in here? And what happens next? And is it getting more wet? And what do we, you know, can you relate? It's maddening. And you go around and around and around and around and around. You're not getting anywhere. But I can imagine for like Prince right now, he's thinking like, when is this over? When is this over? When 1 hour good, 1 hour bad, 1 hour good. He needs some assurance right now. I need some assurance right now. We need some perfect assurance. And as we walk with our Lord Jesus, we have it. Because as Mary Ann said, that's everything. So all this other stuff means nothing in comparison. And so as we have a chance, and that's what we do with the men's group a lot, is as we have a chance to talk with somebody, to give them that special assurance, that perfect assurance, we need to do that. We need to have an introduction to our Lord, because people need, man, this world is messed up. The more I hear about it, the more messed up I think it is. I mean, there are beautiful things still happening in this world. We still have families who love their kids, and we have relationships, and we have new marriages, and we have new people coming to the Lord, and we have all kinds of beautiful things happening. The evangelism is running like crazy levels all over this world right now. God is everywhere. He's always been everywhere, but we're actually seeing that he is everywhere. So there are amazing things happening, but there is also an onslaught that is coming against us. Can I get an amen? And it's getting a little weirder, isn't it? I've been talking about that AI thing and talking to the computer thing. And even I'm starting at, you know, Google and having these conversations about different subjects I am interested in. But, I mean, it is happening at a really high level out there right now. And it really bodes not well for the future as we depend too much on machines instead of people. That's crazy. This is right out of a sci-fi movie or something, man, but it's happening. But it's also, I'm going to tell you, it's also an amazing opportunity for the church. Because the church has something this world doesn't have. Many things, first and foremost, God, our Lord Jesus, the Holy Spirit, but also just some face-to-face companionship, some one-on-one time with somebody, some getting to know somebody. We all grew up this way, right? In relationship. And relationship is what God is all about. God wants a relationship with us, and he wants us to have a relationship with one another so that one another can have a relationship with him. It's a circular effect. So as a Christian, as a Christian, as a follower of Jesus, We have this perfect assurance of love, of compassion, of a Father who cares for us, and of life forever and ever and ever and ever with our Lord. So as we close out 1 John, John wants to remind us. He kind of ricochets all the way back to the beginning and like what his purpose of this whole book was in the first place. And his purpose of this whole 1 John, which is really only about 5 short chapters, what he's really trying to drive at is relationship. About how you can have a relationship with God. How he is your Father. And what that means, and that, remember, there's all these Gnostics coming into the church, all these naysayers, all these people with lies and deception, with other ideas. Sounds like today's world, doesn't it? And trying to dissuade people away from God into some other crazy stuff. And we talked about that last week. There's a lot of other crazy stuff, and it's getting crazier. Of all these other methods, all these different ways of finding God. All these, like Mary talks about it too, and I've gone through that road myself, all these roads to the Lord. Well, there's only one road to the Lord, and that is our Lord Jesus. He makes that very clear. 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. I write these things, all the stuff he's been talking about, all the stuff that he's been looking at throughout all 1 John, all this assurance that he's been giving us about this is the way, this is the only way back to the Father is through the Son. And what is it that John keeps talking about over and over and over again throughout this entire book is that Jesus became a human being. That Jesus became flesh. And it was very, very important to John that we understood that. And we talked about that here, about why is that so important? Because God became human because he loves us so much that he would take on death, a horrible death at that, so that we would be reunited with our Father, relationship. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God. And the name of the Son of God is Jesus. You know, when I pray with somebody, and we're praying, you ever pray with somebody and you don't really know what to say? Ever pray with somebody and you don't have the words? And maybe the situation is so dire, you have no answers. Maybe it's a diagnosis of an illness and you're not no doctor and you can't fix anything. But what I find when you just say, Jesus, 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 this perfect assurance just waves over you. This perfect assurance just waves over the person you're praying for. And this atmosphere changes completely from a point of like, I don't know what we're going to do or how we're going to fix this or how this is going to turn out, to just this perfect rest. Jesus. There's something about that name. Jesus. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God. Believe. We've talked a lot about believe. So that you may know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you have eternal life. That means life with the Father, life with the Son, life with the Holy Spirit, and life with every believer, past, present, and future, forever. That's a big group. That means everybody in the Old Testament and all the people who believed in God and believed on God through his Son, all the people who have come to the Lord, all the people who will come to the Lord, all those people. That's going to be a pretty big room. Not to mention our Father himself, our Lord Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. That is our eternity. And that is what we can always celebrate. This is the confidence, John says, we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. God hears us. That's amazing. That whenever we speak to God, he hears us if we have his son, if we believe in his son. You have to take the first verse and the second verse and put them together. If we believe in the name of the Son of God, we have eternal life and the Father hears us. So whenever we pray, what do you think happens when you pray? Where does it go? You know, we think about it going to the throne room, right? Going to the altar of God. Where is that? That they're just kind of, we envision, like from Revelation, they're just kind of floating on up there, right? Our prayers are floating on up there, and they're going to kind of land on the throne room of God, and he's going to see our prayers like burning incense is one of the descriptions we have. But I think it's a little more personal myself. I think when we pray, it goes right in his ear. Immediately. I don't think it floats. I don't think it takes any time. I think it's instantaneous that he hears us if this is a confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. According to his will. That doesn't mean you can ask for anything, anywhere, anytime, ask for that $5 million or that new Lamborghini or whatever else you want, you know, or that even that job or anything else. It has to be according to his will. If we ask according to his will, he hears us. Now, wait a minute now. We have a little bit of a formula going on here. I'm an engineer at heart. So we have a formula here that if we ask, so we have to first of all ask, right? But we have to ask according to his will. But wait a minute. If I recall when I pray, a lot of times I just kind of come up with stuff out of my head, right? Like, this is the situation, Lord, and this is what I need you to, actually I even give him instructions. Lord, I want you to heal, 100% healing, 100% restoration, and this is how we're going to do it. You know, you might even say, you know, Lord, I want a miraculous healing. I don't want any surgeons involved. I want you just to heal this person. What's wrong with that picture? We didn't go into his will. So how then, wait a minute, back to my formula, how is it that I know his will? Well, how do you know anything? Have you ever, you know, I look at my friend Denny here, and Denny is pretty well skilled in a lot of different things as far as carpentry and roofing and windows. But I don't think he just came by that by osmosis. I think he learned it. I think somebody taught him, or at least he picked up a book and he started reading on it, and then he actually started doing it, and it was trial and error. I'm sure there's been a few bangs on his thumb before he figured out, like, okay, that wasn't a smart thing to do. At least I've done that. And so we learn, we grow, we change, but we have to do something first. If we go and attack, I keep coming back to it. I just remember one time when I was doing moldings. Simple moldings, these simple little moldings around the wall. How hard is that? Well, if you don't know what you're doing, it's pretty doggone hard. Because you'll get to the corner and nothing fits. And you're trying to put these pieces together and they don't fit. And if you don't know what you're doing, if you don't know that you have to cut a 45 degree angle on each of the moldings, and then the two moldings go together and it just fits like a glove. But somebody has to tell you that. Somebody has to train you to do that. Either somebody has to show you, or at least you got to read it in a book. You got to figure it out somehow, or else you're going to be keep putting these pieces together, and they're just going to have these gaps in them. And that's just one example. But my point is that in order for us to know anything, we have to ask. You know, I talk to people when they're about ready to get married, and I saw this thing about a married couple who'd been married for 50 years. And they asked them, you know, what was the secret for 50 years of marriage? Luana just had 60. Don't argue. But it's also ask. Ask each other what you want or need, or ask. Listen and ask, right? So we need to ask God, what is his will? I read it one time, and it said that, you know, before you go to prayer, you ask God what to pray. Back to our formula. So my first step is not to just go off and ask God for whatever I want. My first step is to ask God, what does he want? And then can I be in obedience to what he wants? And can I pray it back up to him? So wait a minute. That almost sounds like communication, doesn't it? Like, you know, like instead of me talking to God first, he's talking to me first. And as someone who was just talking about, like Mary Ann was just saying, we listen. So we listen before we ask. How about that? God is so good. He wants a relationship so much with us. He wants us as part of that prayer. This is the confidence we have. We have confidence, folks, in approaching God. And if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we ask of him. Boom. If we ask for what he wants to give us, he gives us to us. How many times have you asked God for something and you've gotten it? For me, it's been over and over and over again. I can't even mention all the times that I've asked God for stuff and he's given it to me. And I haven't always done it in the right fashion where I asked him first what his will is. He was just gracious enough to kind of coordinate with me. And sometimes we just need that coordination, which is our prayer. Our prayer, even when we're clumsy about it, even when we just kind of spout out what we want, and there's nothing wrong with doing that, by the way, because the real thing here is about asking our Father. And there it is, our Father. What father doesn't want to give to their children? What father isn't delighted in order to give to their child what that child wants? What father would hold back anything from their child if they were able to give it to them, if they knew that was going to be good for their child? Now, if they knew that if they give this child, you know, all the money in the world, and this child's going to never have to work and never going to learn anything, and this child's going to have all these issues because you gave them all this money. I had a friend of mine that was like that. It didn't go well. But a father will not only give everything, and a mother will give everything to their child, but they will discern what they should give to their child. And isn't God doing the exact same thing? Isn't that why he wants us to know his will? Because his will for us is perfect. His will for us is better than what we would ask for. Because I don't know about you, but I ask for some stupid stuff. I ask for some stuff that's it's not going to turn out well. But God knows what I should have. God knows what I need. And the main thing out of everything that I need is what? God. It's so simple. You know, we make this stuff complicated, but it's so simple. We need God. When I was praying about that home, what did I pray for? I prayed for the presence of God in that living room, in that hallway, in the bedrooms, in the entryway. I pray for his presence and for his will to be done. Man, if I could just get that in my own head about my own life, If I just pray for God's presence in my own life and for His will to be done. So what do we do with all this? Well, first of all, I think we should walk out today with a little breath of relief, knowing that we have perfect assurance. I've been talking about it for quite a while now. It is not based on your behavior. It is not based on how perfect you are. It is not based on how good you are. It is not based on how much you make the grade, because God already made you perfect. That was a huge thing for me, man. God has made me perfect. Jesus purifies me like ongoing, okay? Every time I mess up, and then all I have to do is come to realize, like, oh, did it again. Sorry, Lord. I'm going to try better. Purified. Like magic. Jesus purifies us. The Holy Spirit guides us and helps us. And the Father just plain loves us. We take away that perfect assurance that God loves us and that we have eternity relationship with Him and His Son and the Holy Spirit and one another and all those who have believed forever and ever. And we need to seek His will. We need to ask God. So my assignment for this week is for you to ask God for something. Pretty good assignment, huh? What do you want to ask for? Ask God for something this week. If I may be so bold, Julia was trying to figure out with Ollie, right? And you ask God to show you what to do, right? And God showed you what to do. And is it working?
It is, yeah.
It's working like gangbusters, because she did a GoFundMe for Ollie and people are responding. But see, Julia was wise enough to ask God what to do. And I tell people all the time, don't ask God these yes and no questions. Don't say, hey, should I take this job? Shouldn't I take this job? It'll just drive you nuts. You'll be back and forth, yes, no, yes, no, yes, no. At least I am. But instead, ask God to show you what He wants. And you'll see it. You'll see signs. You'll get a little nudge. You'll get a little idea. You'll get a little like, well, that's a crazy idea, but maybe I'll give it a shot. And next thing you know, boom, you're off to the races. So your assignment for this week is to ask God for something. It's up to you what you want to ask. But you have to ask Him first if that's what He wants for you. Okay? That's what John is teaching us today. We know God. That's our perfect assurance. We seek His will. And we can ask Him for anything. And if we are according to His will, He will hear us. And if He hears us, He will grant it. Let us pray. Dear Father God, in this crazy, mixed up world, we need some assurance. In our minds that go racing away, we need something to stop it down and give us some perfect balance and assurance. We thank You, dear Father God, that Your Son, our Lord Jesus, we believe in His name, we believe in Him, and we have that perfect assurance. We thank You, dear Holy Spirit, that You are guiding us and helping us. We thank You, dear Father God, that You love us more than we can ever fathom. We love You, Lord, with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, with all of our strength, and we ask to be in Your will. This we ask through Jesus Christ. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
you know, all of these things, they sound so easy, but they sometimes are more difficult to actually do. I trust in God to stay there 24/7. I trust in God. Sometimes it takes putting aside the spinning in our head. It takes giving up the control. It takes some stuff to do. It's not simply, I trust you, God, and that's it. Because after you say, I trust you, God, and it does start there, you have to then do it. And you have to do it in every aspect of your life. And that's for 24/7, for all the days that you are on this planet. That's a long time. That's a lot of situations. And there is this thing called doubt that comes in, and we battle doubt. So what John is trying to tell us today is the battle has been won against doubt. We can trust God. We have that perfect assurance of eternity, of relationship. And if you think about it, it's not that hard to trust him on this one. He is right here. And when we pray, I love the idea that just came to us during the service, that it is instantaneous, right to his ear. And that he is, first of all, talking to us, so that first, before we even pray, we need to listen. This all came out today. But I think the formula is complete. We listen to our Father. Sound familiar? We pray back what he tells us. We obey. And then he gives us what we need. Wow, if there isn't a perfect formula, that's it. Let us pray. Dear Father God, we thank you that we have perfect assurance. Perfect assurance for our eternity. Perfect assurance for our purity. Perfect assurance for our direction. Perfect assurance for our life. And perfect assurance for our eternal life with you forever and ever. We thank you that you love us so much that you didn't want to be without us. And we don't want to be without you. Help us spread that word. Help us to ask for that this week. This we ask through Jesus Christ. We are dismissed to love and to serve our Lord Jesus. Amen.